We are pleased to be joined this week on A Legacy of Faith by Joey Sparks. Joey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Adam, thanks so much for having me today. Excited to be with you.
Well, we're glad that you are with us. Joey and I have been friends for quite some time, and Joey is one of those guys that gets really annoyed with me because if I ever have a tech question, I'm like, hey, I know how to get a hold of Joey Sparks. So Joey's helped me through a lot of those times where I go, my computer just tried to kill me or something. So I appreciate that.
No problem. Glad to help.
Joey preaches for the Parish Church of Christ, which is just outside of Jasper, Alabama, and is doing a great work there. And he was a youth minister at Midway, also around Jasper for a number of years. And that's the ministry side of things. Other than that, Joey, let our listeners know a little more about you, your family, some other works you're involved in, and all the things we appreciate about you.
Sure. Married to Amanda. We've been married over 10 years now, celebrated 10th anniversary in 2015. So that was great to celebrate and have one daughter, Hazel, who's 2.5, and another daughter on the way who, Lord willing, will be here early May of 2016. And so we're excited about that growing family, and all has gone well to this stage in terms of that pregnancy, or in terms of the baby being healthy. And I know Amanda's been tired and sick and all that, but everything's going smoothly with that thus far, and love to spend time with them, and that's been a pleasant surprise in terms of the more predictable ministry schedule, preaching as opposed to youth ministry is that family time being predictable and fruitful, and so love spending time with quote my girls, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do like, spend a lot of time in kind of some dabbling in tech stuff, but I especially like the creative side of things in terms of design and video and all those kinds of things. So I probably convince myself sometimes I'm investing time in that, but also waste a lot of time looking at fonts and all that kind of stuff. But I do like a lot of the creative things that we can do, and so that's kind of a hobby that I try to keep going from time to time.
And you are really good at it. I was actually going to mention, if you didn't, but you did, your love of creativity. And I was going to tell people, if you don't follow Joey Sparks on Instagram, you're missing pretty much literally a daily encouragement. I love the Bible verses. I know I don't give all of them hearts, Joey, but I do like them. I just forget to give the hearts every day. But there, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to do that each day, and it's very encouraging.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I try to have a quote ministry purpose behind that. You know, those are mostly always from my sermon directly the previous Sunday, or at least connected to it if say I did it just one passage or something, but I try to keep the thought from the previous Sunday going in front of members, and I think that's been a good helpful way to do that. So I've enjoyed doing it, and it helps me to keep those thoughts in front of me during the week as well too.
It's really encouraging. It's a good use of that particular medium. Well, this week on the podcast, we are doing something that may seem a little bit strange because of the time of year that we are recording this and releasing this. This program is being released in the middle of January, kind of peeling back the curtain a little bit. Joe and I are recording this several days early, but it's being released in the middle of January, and we're calling the show You're Planning VBS Already? Because VBS is going to be serving as the template, the background for what we're really talking about, and that is the importance of thinking long-term, thinking in bigger chunks of time, in planning, in churches, and other areas of our life. And Joey, as we were getting ready for the program yesterday and kind of just shooting some ideas back and forth, you kind of said something just in a general way that I'm going to steal and then let you talk about to introduce our program, and that is you just talked about you feel it is so important for churches to think more than just kind of, hey, VBS is next week, let's go buy some books. But we need to make sure that we are thinking of a bigger picture for events like VBS, gospel meetings, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think, just as a general question, that is so important for congregations to do?
Well, I mean, I feel like I could talk ad nauseum in terms of theory behind planning, and I don't know how much of it would be helpful, but I feel like I have a lot of opinions, but working through it is helpful sometimes and maybe not as helpful some others. But I think with this, I think you can have a lot of different purposes for VBS, but I think there are kind of two main purposes you can have, and probably two main purposes for anything we would do as a church. And that's, you know, are we going to serve ourselves and our own folks, or are we going to make it be a primarily an outreach type event? Mm-hmm. And I think VBS, we're especially guilty at blending those two so much that it doesn't always serve either purpose very well. So I think that's why, to me, it stands out as an important question for VBS especially. But I think you can see that on any event. You ask, why is it important? I think having a purpose for an event, a vision, a big picture for a specific event, obviously that's fitting within Christ's vision and Christ's mission for the church and the elders, the local elders' vision and mission for the local church. You know, so for a specific event, first of all, maybe just to lower the stress all throughout the event, first of all, it really helps to make a lot of decisions for you. You know, if you got two or three different ways you could do something, and then you go back to say, well, we're doing this for, you know, for our folks, to get as many of our kids here as we can, that will make a decision for you sometimes that you don't have to wrestle over because you go back to your purpose. But then secondly, I think it's also especially important for communication purposes. The more we can put the why out in front of people, the more they have to latch on to and can get excited about it. I can decide how they're going to best serve. I can't remember how it was exactly said, but I think it was an Andy Stanley leadership podcast a week or two ago. I was listening to on the road, and he said something about, and he may have even been quoting somebody else, who said, you know, people want their leaders to make decisions for them. And I think sometimes as leaders, we want them to make decisions and to grow. And so we just kind of say, well, let's let them do it. Let's let them decide some things. Mm-hmm. And yet they serve the best when we kind of fill in some blanks and then turn them loose. And so the purpose helps us to guide our members in an appropriate direction. And I got some other thoughts, I guess, on the communication we can get to later. But, you know, what we communicate, how we communicate is going to be so important to planning and to execution. And if we don't have a big picture why are we doing this in mind, and that's going to muddy that communication from the start. So those are the two big reasons I think the purpose is so important. It's going to make some decisions for us ahead of time, and it's going to clarify and you know, establish our communication to our members and volunteers and so forth.
In saying that, I didn't hear the reason that we're going to have Vacation Bible School this year because we've always had it. Isn't that the real reason?
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that fair?
Yeah, I mean that's where I think that's what I think this is. Is maybe the most I wouldn't say important, but the most kind of clear or kind of biggest elephant in the room about this topic is because typically success of events, you know, we a lot of times measure it based on how it meets our expectations, and there may not be a single thing that we do that has more expectations than a VBS, because, you know, elders' generations and grandparents' generations remember VBSs from decades ago, and the denominational churches down the street do a VBS, and, you know, it's such an emotionally kind of loaded and expected thing that muddies purpose a lot of times. And, you know, it's we got to keep up with previous years. We got to keep up with with other churches, you know, and so there's a lot of different variables at play. And yeah, I think the year to year expectation, we've always done this and the kids had a lot of fun doing it. You know, that's a huge one that can get in the way if we're not clear about its purpose.
So as I said, we're using Vacation Bible School as kind of the template here. So let's just use that as the what we're going to walk through. How do you begin that conversation? I mean, here it is January as we're recording this and releasing this. Most congregations will have Vacation Bible School in either June or July, maybe August. So we've got 6-7 months. But if we don't start that conversation of the purpose and the why now, it's not going to happen at all. But the question becomes, mm-hmm. Joey, how do you begin that conversation? With whom do you begin it? How do you breach that subject and sort of what maybe almost open a wound of, you know, we're not just going to do this because we've mm-hmm. done it before. Why are we doing it?
Yeah, that's the tough part. I wish I had an answer for it.
Well, thank you for joining us, Joey.
I think you have to somehow have a level of evaluation, and you know, you don't, as a leader or a point person, I don't ever think you need to run anything into the ground on purpose, not at all, but. There may be times when we have to let something just happen, and if it doesn't happen as well as we'd like to, that's okay if we can learn from it. And so it might be that we can't just say, well, we've been doing this visionless for too long, we have to decide a vision, because that could be offensive. They could say, what are you saying? We don't have vision. You know, you have to, mm-hmm. you have to approach it with some wisdom, and it could be that you just the ideal time to do this would be right after last year's VBS, you know? But, you know, so I think the next best time is to do it now. Well, what do we do well? You know, what do we not do well? And when you start asking those questions, people are going to answer those questions based on what they think VBS should be. And so if you can get some sort of a forum to meet.
I hope our listeners listen to what you just said right there. If we're not careful, let them answer with what the dream is.
Yeah, they're going to measure it against something. Let them bring that to the surface if you can, instead of you having to step on their toes and tell them they don't have a purpose. And that's probably the best way to do it. And I have a feeling most ministers can probably have some success with elders in this kind of a discussion. But when you get with volunteers and parents who have differing opinions and expectations, that's when it gets muddy. So, you know, the best we can, questions are so powerful. So if you can get them to bring their own expectations to the surface, then say, well, what are we doing this for? That can maybe be a good thing.
Let me follow up on something you mentioned there, that probably the best time to do this is basically as soon as an event is over, a Vacation Bible School or a gospel meeting or whatever. And I've done that before, too. But do you find that sometimes when you do it right after the event, that people are either so excited by what happened that they're not willing to say anything bad happened, or they're so tired and frustrated they're almost not willing to say anything good happened? You can't find anything in the middle.
Right. Yeah, and that's where it's going to be more difficult if you don't have a clear purpose. You know, if you have a clear purpose and it's to have, you know, it's an outreach event, and you made 50 contacts with different families from the community, and you got them, you know, at your building, or you served them directly, you know, multiple times that week, and you got their contact information, and you know, even if you're tired, even if things didn't go well, since you've established your purpose, you can look and say, hey, well, we touch 50 families, and those are potential contacts for the next year for us to reach, you know? Mm-hmm. And that gives you something to measure by, as opposed to the up and down momentum and feelings about how it went. You can say, well, we met our purpose, even if we're tired, or even if we ran out of food, or even if, you know, the kids acted up, you know, we still accomplished what we set out to accomplish. So, you know, when you don't have that purpose, it becomes more difficult, just like everything else does. So I think if you can do some sort of evaluation right after it, and then decide then what's the next step and when's it going to happen, I think that's a good habit to get into. I haven't always done that with stuff as I planned it, but I think that's an ideal kind of approach.
Well, that was great what you said, though, about if we have the purpose laid out, even if everybody's tired, frustrated, but we can say, you know, our goal really was more internal, and we had 85% of our kids here, and our goal was 75. We reached, we may be tired, but we reached our goal. that encourages them then to think even bigger. You know, maybe we raise the percentage, or maybe we add an outreach opponent, a component, or whatever the purpose happens to be. And that's very important for us to remember, especially in the moment when we're tired, frustrated, or on the other end when we're, you know, so high and excited, and we didn't reach our goal. We just got excited because we like the puppet show, or we like the skits, and we didn't do what we said we were going to do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's true too. It's an objective reminder about what you accomplished and what you did what you set out to do. Yep.
All right. So again, using Vacation Bible School as a template here, let's just say that someone like you, someone like me, and it's January and we're already thinking about June, July, and we decide to, hey, we're going to go ahead and start planning this event, Vacation Bible School or whatever it is. But you get pushback. Oh, we've never started planning before about April. You know, I mean, it doesn't come until the 4th of July. What we start, how do you fight that pushback that a lot of people are likely to get if they actually begin planning something? It happens already every year, but we've never started planning this early before. What are you trying to do? How do you fight that pushback?
I mean, the best form of communication we're ever going to have is going to be one-on-one. So, you know, if you know the people well, and that's not to say you're playing favorites or anything, this isn't, but if you know the people well, you can get a sense about who is going to respond well to planning ahead and who doesn't. And so I don't think it's bad to start with the people who get annoyed when you wait till April, you know? Who are the people that push you to get going in April as opposed to waiting till May, you know? Well, then they're probably going to be open to starting in January. So start with them. And so, you know, meet just to decide when you're going to meet if you have to. You know, set aside just a time period of 15 minutes or something like that. Try to start with a group that you know you're going to have some success with and just try to work it from there so that it can bleed out into – to other groups. And I think just be as positive as you can when you present it. You know, somebody pushes back, so we've never done it before. Say, well, okay, I understand that you feel that way. And, you know, if you can't help right now, that's fine. We're going to go ahead and get the ball rolling and love for you to help out whenever you can. You know, just leave the door open, be as positive as possible. And, you know, you never know what, you know, how they may come around. And they may decide next year, hey, well, okay, it worked better because we got going earlier. And I'll help out earlier. You know, you never know the impact of that.
That's a great point that people will eventually usually come around when they say, this wasn't the worst idea in the world.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to after the initial start. Here it is, January, and you actually push forward and you begin at least some initial plans for something like a Vacation Bible School. I know in your case, you've helped plan Vacation Bible Schools, and you've helped plan also some you've been on the boards for some huge events among the church.
Right.
This is an obvious question, but how much communication is too much communication? But what I mean by that is how often, basically, do we need to meet in person versus how much can we do just through emails, text messaging, conversations after church, you know, in informal settings?
Yeah, man, it's a good question, a great question.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, Joey, is to ask the great questions.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. I think as much as you can do in person and as much as you can talk about together, just the better, because, you know, we're really trying to build relationships and growing each other. I would say, you know, you don't want to make decisions digitally, I don't think. You know, if you're trying to decide, are we going to go back to the older school morning time VBS, or are we going to keep this at night? You know, those kind of decisions, you don't want to just make those in a Facebook message, you know, with 30 people in it, you know, or maybe decide the theme. That's a pretty big deal to a lot of folks. So I would say communicate details digitally, make decisions in an in-person meeting as much as possible. I think if you can get them to work in harmony, it's good to maybe send out an agenda with details and expectations about a meeting that comes up. so they can have time to read over everything. You know, just think about how difficult it is to process information. And so, you know, here you go. You've got three themes that you might consider for this year. Or even if it's just the three in the, you know, in whatever bookstore magazine you're looking at, you know, so we've got these three options we could go with. You know, if they have to look at those, process them, and then decide all in that single meeting, that's an overwhelming thing. It's going to stress them out. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay to communicate information about decisions digitally and say, well, we'll decide this at our next in-person meeting, you know. So I think just be aware that the more sensitive and more emotional a decision or a topic, the better that is for in-person. And we're hardwired to do it the other way around. You know, we like to avoid the conflict.
Right.
So, you know, that I think that's where it takes some gumption as leaders to try to do the difficult stuff the best way possible. And that's really how we're going to win over people, is by doing it that way.
You touched on something that almost put me up on a soapbox. You avoided it just barely, but and that is, if you're going to have meetings, meet for a purpose. Do not plan a vacation Bible school meeting just because, well, it's the second Sunday in March, so it's about time for a vacation Bible school meeting. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I hate meetings with no purpose. But you can really be greatly respected as the leader of whatever it is you're planning. If you, like you said, either have an agenda ahead of time, or when people walk into the meeting, maybe you've got a handout, or maybe you've got a PowerPoint slide up with, here are the four things we're going to talk about today, or the six things we're going to talk about. It is amazing how much more people respect you as a leader when you have taken probably no more than 5 minutes, but that's all it takes to come up with, here are the few things that we absolutely have to do today, instead of, well, we usually have four meetings for EBS, so I guess we'll schedule a fourth one. Well, if you don't need it, don't do it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That felt good to say.
Yeah, that's a good way to stress your that's a good way to stress your members out. If here you are saying in January, we got to get to going earlier, and they're a little skeptical, and they come to a meeting in February or March, and they sit there and twiddle their thumbs,
right,
waiting on somebody to talk. You know, that's a good way to lose their respect.
That's right. All right. Joey,
I think,
go ahead.
Let me go back real quick.
Sure.
Did you say, was the original question there, is it possible to communicate too much?
Yeah, that was the overarching question.
Yeah, I kind of broke up a little bit. The sound did. And obviously, no, it's not possible to communicate too much. I heard somebody, I think maybe Patrick Lencioni, you know, says that CEOs should change their title to Chief Communication Officer. Mm-hmm. You know, like their goal is to communicate. And I think he says you'll never find anybody getting fired, a CEO, for, you know, being fired for communicating too much. You know, don't be afraid to tell them too much. And just because 50% of the people heard you the first two or three times doesn't mean the rest don't need you to say it four or five or six times. So we have to keep communicating. That means we have to be somewhat creative and original and effective in our communication. But since, hopefully, if we're preachers or ministers, we recognize how important that is, we can be creative in our communication. And, you know, you ease a lot of people's fears when you can communicate things over and over again, and give them time to process it and make decisions about it, answer their questions by communicating it. So, I think that's a hurdle we sometimes face is, well, I've already mentioned it several times, they're going to be tired of it, you know? And just because one or two people may be tired about it doesn't mean you need to stop doing it. And so I think that's an important thing for anything we do.
I wish I could remember where I heard this. It wasn't that long ago. I just can't remember who I heard say it. They said, if you said something so often that you're sick of hearing it, you're about half done.
Yeah.
And they're talking exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, Joey, let's kind of start wrapping this up a little bit, and let's take it a little bit closer to the actual event, to the gospel meeting, to the vacation Bible school. We have planned for 6 months, 5 months, much longer than we always have. But here's the temptation, and I'll be honest with you, here's the temptation I fall into. We lay out that initial meeting or two early on, 6 months out, and then we do nothing until about 2 weeks before. What are some things that we can be doing, even just behind the scenes, to make sure that things are flowing along leading up to a major event like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is having the courage to just be content with where you're at, that even if you wait until 2 weeks out, but you've been planning since January, you know, that's better than planning 2 weeks out. And so there's a little bit of a room where we need to give ourselves a little bit of grace, if you will. But I think you just have to plan. It's kind of getting meta, if you will. But you have to plan to plan. Plan ahead of time to plan your meetings. Plan ahead of time to have your work sessions. And so instead of, you know, when you're sitting down in the plan in January, for instance, about something that's going to happen in July, you know, don't just leave it open-ended. Well, we're going to do this. I think it was David Shannon said one time that nothing's planned until you know who's going to do it and you know when they're going to do it. Who and when. If you can't answer those two questions, it's not planned. It's not on the calendar. And I think that's a pretty good system. And, you know, well, so-and-so is in charge of decorations. Okay, well, that's a good step because this person's in charge. When are they going to start decorating? When are they going to assemble decorations?
Right.
You know, when are they going to, you know, brainstorm about decorations, whatever.
Those things. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So I think if you can start by answering who and when, and you give them a, you know, March 15th is your first deadline or April 1st, you know, ask them when can they have the first step done. You know, you can set deadlines ahead of time that will prepare you, you know, for the event itself. And so if you decide April 1st is when we're going to get this done and it's April 8th, ooh, big deal. You know, you're still way ahead of the game, you know. So if you can answer who and when, I think that's a huge step. And nobody in January is going to say, oh, well, I'll wait till 2 weeks out. They're smart enough and I think concerned enough to where they're going to give themselves some time. And that's a good thing. So who and when, if we can answer those two questions, I think that's a good way to start.
That's outstanding. That's absolutely right. I think it was, or it has been, Promise Publishing in their Vacation Bible School curriculum. I haven't used it in the last 2 or 3 years, but I know for a long time in their leader handbook or whatever they called that thing, they gave a list of X number of weeks out from VBS, these things should be done. And it was one of those things I never followed to the letter of the law, but boy, it was helpful to see how much work it actually involved. And, you know, the first time I was in charge of Vacation Bible School, I was like, okay, this will happen. And I realized there's 1,000 moving parts here. And just to have even just a loose guideline made a world of difference to me. And now I've kind of got it to where I know, you know, when and where certain things need to be finished. But someone who's never planned it before or who is trying to do better, I'm sure if you contacted Promise Publishing, they would be glad to email you that list or something just to give you a loose approximation of what needs to be done.
Right. Yeah. And if you're courageous and you evaluate the, you know, this year, that suddenly gives you a loose calendar to work off of next year. You know, you can say, well, this needed more time. This needed less time. You know, if you can be honest with yourself and keep yourself going, you know, learning your own calendar can be helpful too. But I agree, it's helpful to have those starting points. Dave Ramsey's company does that for Financial Peace. Mm-hmm. If you lead that at your church, you know, they'll tell you to start advertising to the community this day, you know, advertise your church on this day, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's a good way to start if you feel overwhelmed.
Well, Joey, anything else we need to mention specifically on this particular topic?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to kind of big picture and theory, if you will. But this is another reason I think VBS is so ripe or primed to really challenging some of the things that we do or some things that we think in terms of purpose and vision, just to kind of jolt us back into doing things with excellence. You know, as a leader, I think a lot of times, you know, we think we should plan ahead because of how it benefits us. You know, well, if I would plan ahead, then I'll have more time with my family. I'll not be as stressed. It'll make me look better, that kind of thing. We even view planning ahead as more of a selfish thing. And I think we might do it better, and we would be more effective as leaders if we'll view the planning ahead process, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes and it's against our nature sometimes. That's a very unselfish thing to do. As a procrastinator, I think I can cover everything last minute. But there are other people who need to know that information and want to know it. And I'm helping them out, and I'm serving them better if I give them more time. And, we're going to grow the church. I think this is the same lesson David Shannon said that about the Who and the When. He was talking from Ephesians 4, and he said, we're going to grow the church when we are successful in growing people. If you cannot grow people, you cannot grow the church. And that's from Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. And think about all the different moving parts, like you mentioned about a VBS. There's probably not a single event that has the potential to engage as many members in a local church as a VBS. And if we can grow the members, that's a huge, huge step forward for the church. And yet if we dump material in their laps, 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, only took 3 or 4 people decorate, 2 or 3 people handle the food and that's it. We really, really miss some great, great opportunities for growth because there's so many roles and so many, so much time that needs to be involved. And it's such a wonderful opportunity. And if we don't plan ahead, we're really dropping the ball on other people and growing those people. And I think ultimately growing the church, we don't have to do it the same way that it's been done before. And we don't have to do it the same just because it's been done before. But it is still a wonderful opportunity to engage so many different people, to show that we love young people, to show that we love the community. And so I think it's something we would do well to continue to do, but do it with a purpose and use it to effectively mobilize members. And so that's, I think it'll be impossible to do those things if we don't plan ahead and be intentional and be courageous in doing that.
Very good. That's a great way to close up the interview. And Joey, I appreciate you taking some time to record this. And just to let our listeners know that before we start recording, I'm trying a new piece of technology. So you got to be the guinea pig with new technology and all sorts of things. So I appreciate you being willing to do that. But Joey, far more than that, we just appreciate you being a brother in Christ and a good worker for the Lord.
Absolutely. You the same. And this is a helpful thing for us as we look forward to our VBS and other stuff going on too. So for me to think about and try to put into words myself. So thank you for that opportunity as well.
Thank you for joining us today.